Good morning. It's good to see everyone here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, 16th chapter, verses 3 and 4. Today our message is on staying committed. Staying committed. And when you get to Proverbs 16, 3 and 4, I'd like to ask you to stand, if you would, as I read from God's Word. Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its own purpose, even the wicked for the day of evil. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, I pray today that every single one of us will surrender our plans to you, and that your plan would be established in our lives, within this church house, and everything that we do. Let it bring honor and glory to you, dear God. Father, as I preach the message today, let every word come from you, dear God, through your Holy Spirit, and touch our hearts and lives. And Father, allow us to grow in you, Lord. And Father, show us from this word today what we need to learn. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Commitment is one word that most people would like to remove from a dictionary. We can also go another step further to say that most people would like to remove the word commitment from their lifestyle. But God's word teaches that we should be committed in everything that we do. Now, I want to point something out real quick. One thing I love about the people in this church is they're committed. Committed. Because you know what? The ladies are going to get together tomorrow and go through. I was back in that back room with them and everything that's been dropped off. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, everybody, for what you do. Each and every day, thank you to the ones that get up here in the morning, get the doors unlocked, get the air on or get the heat on, whatever the season we're in. And thank you to the ones that take care of all the little details of this church house. Thank you, because your commitment to God does not go unnoticed. I want you to know this now, that everything that you do, commit your ways to the Lord and honor Him, and God will bless your life. What I want to make something else clear. What I read in verse 3 this morning, that if you commit your works to the Lord, your plans will be established. It means God has a perfect plan for your life, and all He wants us to do is submit and surrender and then stay committed to it. So number one, being committed to God. How do we get committed to God? Firstly, it's through salvation, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You have to give yourself to God by faith. You have to make a new commitment, and then you have to live a new way of life. If you're going to have a relationship with somebody, what's one thing you got to learn first? You got to know that person. How do you know somebody? You spend time with them. You get to know the ins and the outs and what they like, what they don't like. That's how you know somebody, and that's how you establish a relationship with somebody or people that are very important to you. And in the same way, if we're going to have a relationship with God, we have to get to know Him. We have to spend time with Him, and we've got to love on Him, because when we do, God will love on us and God will draw us into His fellowship, and God will keep us in that fellowship. And staying committed, oh, I tell you, it's hard. I'm telling you what, I had, how many of you ever been here? Yesterday was a hard day. I went through some battles yesterday. And I went for a long walk yesterday morning. I walked 5 miles just talking to the Lord. And I said, you know what, Lord? Sometimes I just feel like giving up. Sometimes I feel like it ain't worth it. And then as I'm walking, you know what I start to realize? And I started to pray. And what I realized was I was doing things under my own strength and under my own power. And when I depleted that source, I started to get weak and weary. My mind started to become overloaded. And I wasn't giving it to the Lord. And as I was walking, then I started praying, Father, I see that I was doing everything by myself. And I'm sorry, Lord. You know, as I walked down the county road and was passing houses, I didn't care who heard me. They might have thought I was some crazy guy just walking the side of the road. That's all right. But you know, I got to stay committed. And to stay committed, it's very easy. Commit your ways to the Lord and everything that you surrender to Him. And when you lean on Him and you lean on His power, then you're not trying to thrust yourself into full throttle mode to get everything done. When you rest in the Lord and when you get to know the God of love and the God of peace, He will show you daily how to live your life. And it's always important in our relationship with God, it's always important to find rest in Him. We get to become such busybodies when we get so committed, we become busybodies and then we forget to rest in the Lord. And by resting in the Lord, it means you take time and you just say, Father, I need you to hold me today. I need you to comfort me, Daddy Jesus. I need you, Lord God, to hold me by your side. And I need you to fill me with your power. And sometimes, and it's okay to stay there for quite some time if you need to. But when we give our hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus, we do have that new commitment. He opens up our hearts in a way. He shows us the beauty of life. He shows us the beauty of being a servant. He shows us what it's like to be in fellowship with Him. Something I've always said in commitment, this is also very important too. When you commit yourself to the Lord, you should also put some boundary lines down in your life. And what I mean is you need to draw lines in your life and say, I will not allow sin to cross that line. I will not let anything evil come across this line. I will not let the devil cross over that line. But you have to also draw boundaries in the things that you do. You can't get so many irons in the fire that you're burning the candle at both ends and then burn yourself out. I see a lot of Christian people doing that today. Next thing is we have to serve our service. We have to serve God and we have to live for Him. It's important that we serve others, but we have to serve God first. We have to give our lives a living sacrifice. Our life has to be pleasing to the Lord. So in service to God, our thoughts, our behaviors, our actions, our words, everything that comes out of our heart should be pleasing to the Lord. And the sad thing is, every single one of us, the flesh comes in, we let our guard down, and then that time comes and we start to say things that we shouldn't say, or we start to think thoughts that shouldn't even be in our minds. And then our attitudes get bent the wrong way. And then we end up saying something we wish we would have never said to somebody. Or we wish we would have never acted a certain way in the presence of people. Now, I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. In service to the Lord, as a pastor, I went into a church and I pastored this church for a couple years, and I just call a burrs under the saddle. I had two burrs under the saddle. And boy, I had two men in that church who would try to work you every wrong way that they could. And one of them was supposed to be a preacher himself. And every time I'd preach something, well, not every time, sometimes I'd preach something and he'd get something in his mind and he'd come to me and he would start just battering me with all these questions. Well, why did you say this? And in my service to the Lord, I had to remember I needed to say the right thing, but there was one time that I was talking about women teaching Sunday school class. And I said, I want to thank all the ladies in this church that teach Sunday school and for your dedication. Well, after service was over, I was in my office and I was just kind of getting some things together, and he comes storming through the door. Didn't knock, didn't nothing, just stormed in, and he unloaded on me. What right did I have at saying women could be allowed to preach in the pulpit? And I said, what? I don't know what you're talking about. And he started banging his fist on my desk and just red in the face. And you know what happened? I let that flesh get a hold of me, and I turned right around and I let the devil get a hold of me. And then instead of being in service to the Lord, I let the flesh get in. And I told him, I said, don't you ever come into my office like that again. I said, don't you ever accuse me of something that I never said. I said, you get out of my office, you get out of my sight, and you get out that door this minute. I said, I don't ever want to speak to you. And I walked out of the church that morning, and I was so angry. I slammed that door shut to the church, and I locked the door, and I got in the car angry, and I drove away. And I went home angry, and I stayed angry. I stewed on those words, and I thought, is this serving God? Is this the right attitude that I should have? It's certainly not. And I had to start thinking about my actions, what I said and did, how I presented myself before somebody, what he told other people. Well, the only thing I could do is hit my knees, ask God for forgiveness, and call him back. Called him on the phone, and I just said, look, I just wanted to apologize. I was in the wrong for my response. I should have asked him politely to leave the office, and he needed to go calm down, and we'd pray, and then we'd talk about it when he was ready to talk. But anyway, in our service to the Lord, living for Him, we have to remember that there are people out there that are hard to love. But if we love them with the kind of love that God puts inside of us, it will be much easier to love them each and every day. Our sacrifice to God, it's our time, our talent, and our tithe. Give of your time to the Lord. Ask God daily, Father, what should I do today? What do you have in store for me today? And if there's things going on down at the church that's got to be done, then Lord, help me to plan my time today where I could be productive, and Lord, we get things done in a timely manner. And Lord, you have given me so many talents, so many gifts, and so many abilities. Let me use them in the church. Let me use them outside of the church in some type of ministry. Now, you ought to ask yourself, what gifts and talents do I have? What has God placed in my life? Well, for me, well, I can preach, and I can love easy. I don't meet strangers. You know, I talk to anybody really in a crowd. I'd never meet a stranger. Janine says, we could go into a crowd of 100 people you've never met, and she said you'd find something, you know, to be on the same plateau with them about. She said you'd make a bunch of friends right away. And I said, well, that's how I was raised, by a lot of my family members. And the other talents is witnessing and serving and working. I'll tell you what, when it comes to doing work, I never like to claim to be the leader. I like to be the one who shows up and helps work. So I find out who's in charge of a project, and I say, what is it that's got to be done? And here's what I can do. You show me and put me in that place. And I'm telling you what, if we will work for the Lord in that way, if we will look in our hearts and say, Father, we need Sunday school. Father God, we need people to make phone calls. Lord, this is what, if those gifts are inside of me, if there's something you've placed in me, then let me use it for your glory and also to reach somebody's heart and life for Jesus. Help me to make an impact in a major way. As far as the preaching, somebody asked me a while back, they said, do you ever get scared before you have to get in the pulpit? Well, I've been doing this now for 36 years. And yes, there's a lot of times, mainly it's at a funeral. I kid you not. I've preached a lot of funerals, but if I have to preach a funeral, I get shaky knees, and I just ask the Lord to take over and help me. But anyway, then our tithe. Tithe is not talking about money. Tithe is giving of yourself to the Lord. Yes, it's important to give your tithe to the Lord, your 10%. It's important to give, but we have to give more than just money to the Lord. We have to give God everything about us. And when we give to God, God will make sure that seeds are planted in the hearts and lives of those we are serving and ministering to. My second point is being committed to your church. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, the Bible says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Basically, what that scripture's saying is we as Christian people, we need to be getting together and joining our hearts together in fellowship. And we need to be sharing with each other. We need to be looking out for the needs of people within our church congregation. And we also need to be looking out after the needs of our family, of friends, or whoever God puts into our path. Now, looking after somebody's needs doesn't mean doing every single thing for them. Because people got to learn to stand on their own feet and do things for themselves, but when God puts somebody in our path to help them with a situation, we need to say, Lord, what do I need to give? How much do I need to give? But anyway, we need to draw ourselves together and we need to have the kind of fellowship that when we come to church on Sunday, we're not saying, oh boy, got to go to church again this morning. Got to see those negative people. Because I tell you what, I've heard of it happening in churches. And it should never happen here at Boscadale Baptist Church. But when you're coming to Boscadale Baptist Church, you should be saying, man, I'm excited to go to church today. I can't wait to get out of bed. And I can't wait to go sing and pray and have fellowship and see that good-looking preacher. I just got you. Ha 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 ha. I won't lie about being good looking. I know I ain't. But that's what I do. I look forward to coming to church on Sunday, and I look forward to the fellowship. I look forward to the talks in the morning before church, and I love to sing the songs, and I love to know that everybody's doing okay, and also like to know if someone's not doing okay, then let me know about it, and then I could go visit them, because when we keep our fellowship tight and we love one another, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be like a flower or a plant that has received a nourishing drink of water. You ever seen a plant or a flower about to dry up and you give it some water and a little Miracle-Grow, and what happens a few hours later? Man, that flower stands right up and looks just as good as the day you planted it, if it was in bloom anyway. And that's what happens in God's house. If we let the devil get into the midst of our fellowship, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be like a bunch of dried up flowers in a weed bed. But if we are productively working for the Lord and doing God's will and serving God and serving each other, and we're loving each other and holding up each other in prayer, then you know what God's going to do? God is going to pour out His blessings upon this church house, and God will cause it to grow, but we have to stay in unity and in fellowship. And that by means attendance. Supporting your church. Now, when you attend church, don't show up because somebody else is here. I love all of you, but I don't show up just for the people. I show up for the Lord because I'm here for Him first. I have to draw from Him. But when we show up in God's house, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That means don't ever take for granted. Have you ever heard this before? You go to church and you never realize who is around you, but then when they pass away and the body's been buried and then they're no longer here, how many times have you heard people say, well, I wish Sister So-and-so was still here. Boy, they was a pioneer of this church. Or they used to do this or that, and nobody could do it like they could. How many of you ever heard somebody talk about, but when they was alive, not much was ever said or done with them? How many times do we go up to somebody after church and say, I appreciate you, and I thank you for what you've done for the Lord and what you've done in this church. I thank you for every day for your abilities and your talents and your time. I thank you. How many times has somebody said that to us? Or how many times have we gone up to somebody and said that to them? But the more that you attend church, you this is your filling station. This is where you come, and this is where you're filled up with the Word of the Lord. And this is where you receive strength from God daily, but you receive the Word. But the fellowship, see, I never realized what a good illustration this was, but all the big redwood trees that are out in California, big old trunks. I saw a picture of a guy one time, had his arms stretched, and he didn't even take up a 16th of that tree. But I found this out. All these redwood trees grow close together, and the roots of these redwood trees, even though they're kind of a shallow root, they grow all over and they intertwine with one another. And they said that these trees growing like this causes each tree to support one another. And when high winds and storms or anything comes up, those trees never fall over. And I thought, wow, if the church of God, if the people of God would stand together and get their roots growing together, When the devil starts throwing a storm toward our direction, we can stand strong and ain't nothing going to knock us over. Ain't nothing going to destroy the house when the house of God, the people of God, stand together. The devil could bring a storm, but we will withstand the storm. That's why it's important to be involved in church each week. Now, contribution. God loves a cheerful giver. When you give your tithe and offering, God, thank you that I can give. This is your money, dear God. You gave it to me. Now I'm giving it back to you, Lord. And God, what is it that you want me to give? If you want me to give in excess, I will give in excess. And when you put that money in the offering plate, now God will bless you how He sees to bless you. A lot of people think when they put the money in the offering plate that they're going to get rich. Well, that's not how the Lord works. Now, God will meet your needs, whatever your needs are. But see, what you're giving to the Lord, He will bless you according to His will. That's why when we pray, we're supposed to pray in accordance with God's will. But also, when you're giving that tithe, give it joyfully. And only not that, but giving of yourself. Be happy. When you're doing some work for someone else, be happy about it. Now, I heard a lady saying one time, she says, well, when I'm doing the laundry, she says, I just say, well, thank you, Lord, that I'm here and I could do this load of laundry today. I was thinking, well, I don't know if I'd say that, but when it comes to doing whole loads of, I did laundry yesterday and I was like, oh, my word. But I was thankful I was healthy and able to do it. So praise God for that. But everything we do, we should be happy about it. We should be joyful. Because see, when we respond to God in certain ways, that's how God responds to us. And if we respond in the wrong ways, I do believe this, if we respond in the wrong ways toward God, I believe He holds off on giving us the blessings. I really do. But God loves a cheerful giver. Give of yourself to the Lord joyfully. I mean, look at the woman in the Bible who she gave every last little bit of money she had, gave it all to the Lord joyfully. And she was blessed abundantly. Will you give every last little thing that you have? How many of you would give one of your favorite, most cherished possessions? You knew you had it, and you've had it for a while, but maybe you knew of somebody that really needed it. How many of you would be willing to give that up and give it to somebody? I've often thought about that myself a lot. Would I really give something? And I thought, I would. If I had to give things, I would give it. Because what we give, God blesses us in return. And then service, 1 Corinthians 3, 9 and 10. I'm going to read this from a different translation. For we are laborers together with God. We, or ye, are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Basically, when we, our service, it's how we lay the foundation and what foundation we use. Our foundation should be Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He should be our Savior. He should be our foundation. And when you build upon the solid rock, whatever you build in the name of the Lord, and whatever you build for His glory and dedicate to His service, and you do it with all your heart, it will stand. And it will never fall. But whatever we do foolishly, just like the man who built his house upon the sand, when the water and the waves came, his house didn't stand. If we try to build a church on man's ways and man's understandings and what we think, it's going to fall apart. And I'm telling you what, I've seen a lot of doors close over churches that were run that way. So staying committed, where does it start? It starts with you. It starts with me. Where do we receive the strength? We receive it from God. No other place. And I'm telling you what, when you faithfully and joyfully carry that each day, don't worry about tomorrow, but do it for today. Like, okay, I want to just share this illustration real quick. The first time I ran a half marathon, 13.1 miles. Now, that number staggered in my brain for quite a while. I thought, man, I have to run for 13.1 miles? Can I do that? And I got into the race. On race day, I was scared and nervous. Thought, did I eat enough? Do I have enough water and drink, and food, little snacks to keep me going? Am I going to poop out? Am I going to, why? But I was running with a friend of mine, and she's a nurse up here at Carbondale Hospital. And as I was running with her, and she kind of listened to me, she goes, stop. Pause your watch. And she turned and looked at me and she said, look, I want to tell you something. And she said, I love you. She said, enjoy the mile that you're in. And I said, what? She said, enjoy the mile you're in. She goes, quit worrying about what mile you're at and how many more you got left. And in the Christian life, people are worrying about what's ahead instead of what's right now. So I started enjoying the mile I was in and thanking God. And then before I knew it, we was crossing the finish line and she was still there with me, beside me the whole way. A true friend. And see, if we do that with God, if we will enjoy the moment that we're in, if we're enjoying what God has given us for the time that we're in right now, and we thank the Lord, God's always going to be right there beside us. And when our time is done on this earth and we cross into heaven, He's still there with us. His Word says He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. So please don't do what I did yesterday. Don't get into leaning on yourself and running out of energy and your own willpower, because it's not going to lead to good results.